Listen, everything in the kingdom is faith. It's faith. Amen. It's faith to enter, faith to access, faith to go through the door, faith for salvation. You have to come to the Lord by faith. Amen. Faith to access, but now we're getting into faith to receive. He's all over it since I've got into the Father of Lights. He's opened up this whole realm of the kingdom, and he's given me an assignment. He goes, I want you to believe, and he gave me an assignment of something to believe in. He goes, I don't want you to pay for it. I don't want you paying for it for any kind of funds you get. I don't want you looking to the world for it. I don't want you telling anybody. I want you to believe the Father for it. Amen. Nothing else. Don't dependency on anything but the Father. See, that's a whole different realm of faith right there. Amen. Glory to God. So we have faith to access right there. In our notes, you can see that. By whom we have access by faith into this grace. Everything we've done hitherto, moving through the door, moving into the rest, moving in the throne of grace, moving into the Father, moving through John 14, 15, 17 is faith. Everyone say faith. Shout it, faith. Faith. Now we're moving into faith to receive. It's huge. This is the whole chapter of John, Matthew 6 here. He gets into the Lord's Prayer. Notice what he said. I didn't put this in the notes there, but in Matthew 6, he said, consider the lily. It doesn't toil. It doesn't spin. Yet the Father clothed it. Not even Solomon in all his glory is like clothed like a lily. He's trying to illustrate something to you. Just imagine this lily right here is planted, not in this glass vase, but it's planted in the ground. That lily is 100%, say 100%, dependent on the Father to clothe it. It doesn't get to move from its vicinity. It doesn't get to do anything but wait on the clothing. Receive. All the lily can do is receive. That's the point the Lord was trying to make with the lily. With the sparrow, he said, it doesn't get to sow, reap, or lay up in a barn. Now, and back in that day, that was an agricultural society. 90% of the people, we're not so much an agricultural society anymore, but back then it's 90%. Everybody understood. You go to work, you sow the ground, you reap from the ground, you lay it up in the barns. The sparrow, now everybody's got to work, but he's saying to receive from the Father. Say to receive from the Father. It's not going to come through sowing or reaping or laying up in a barn. It's not going to come. The Father's going to give it to you. Notice the sparrow. Say the Father's going to feed that sparrow apart from not even being able to participate in the system of commerce you and I participate in. Which means that whatever God gives you, God can provide from a kingdom that's not of this world. That's what he's trying to say. When it comes to the Father, we have to learn to receive from the Father. In getting into that chapter, he said the first order, say the first order, in receiving from the kingdom. Are you ready for this? This is deep. You ready? The first order in receiving from the kingdom is what? To receive from the kingdom. I mean, it has blew me away. The first order receiving from the kingdom is to receive from the kingdom. Wasn't that a good word? We should just close right now. Isn't that heavy? But it is heavy. Do you know why? Because most of us never, ever receive from the kingdom. We'll receive certain blessings from the kingdom, but we don't know how to receive direct. God can put a blessing on you. He can put anointing on you. He can give you a gift. He can operate with you in the earth, but that doesn't mean you're receiving direct. But God's not one way. If you don't receive direct from me, you're cut off. He doesn't do that. God's got a lot of ways because he loves to bless. But his favorite, highest way is for us to come to the place in our life that we receive direct from him. From a kingdom that's not of this world. To do that, you're going to have some training. That's what we're here for. To do that, you're going to have to understand a few things about how God works. First thing, God is a spirit. Amen? The first order of things, and I didn't even put this in the note either, but I need you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All of Matthew 6 is about how to receive from the Father. From our Father. That's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer. What's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer? Anybody want to tell me? my Father. You never get past God until God, your Father, you're not going to receive from him very well. Because if it's just God, he's way, 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 way up there, and you're way, way, way down here. In order to receive from Father, from God, you got to know him as Father. You're going to have to know him. It's pretty deep. Say pretty deep. Say you're going to have to know him. Now notice this verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The whole kingdom of God, the entire kingdom of God, is built on one word. Anybody want to tell me? Grace. Say grace. Very highly understood word, but everything is grace. The whole kingdom of the world system is built on what? Works. Works. It was the original fall of man. Out of the sweat of your brow, you will bring forth toil and labor. The whole kingdom is grace, and what grace is what? Free. Say free. But grace has to be received. Now, to give you an illustration of that, because we need some illustration, think if you were the children, God was trying to illustrate this even to the children of Israel. Think about this. All your life, you were raised in Egypt. From the day you woke up, from the time you could actually pick up a shovel, you were making bricks for somebody else. You were making bricks for your food. You were making bricks for your clothing. You were making bricks. If you aren't making bricks, you aren't eating. That's all they did, was make bricks for Pharaoh. Their whole life was to get up and work and labor and toil under a system of Egypt. And God said, all right, come out, my people, from among them. So he calls Moses, he calls them out. They come to the Red Sea, they're washing the blood. That's salvation. He takes them through the Red Sea, he washes them in the blood, and he marches them. And he says, by the way, take all the wealth of Egypt with you. 400 years payday. I won't say payday. I hadn't even touched my notes. I don't know why I've given you notes today. I'm all over the place. I'm shotgun preaching. Praise God. And so he marched them through the Red Sea. They're washing the blood. He marches them right out of the wilderness. And all that wealth, they have no place to spend it. There's no shopping mall out there. There's nothing to buy. There's no restaurant out there. There's nowhere to spend all that money. Just hang it on yourself and go. And they get out in the middle of the wilderness, and then what are we going to eat? Now, watch this. What are we going to wear? You know that the Bible says their shoes did not wear out for 40 years. I don't want to even know what those shoes look like after 40 years. I know what mine look like after 5 years. They're toys for the dogs that you want. But then I said, 40 years. But think about eating. They go out all their life. Think about it. They wake up in the morning and, Dad, we're going to make some bricks today out here in the wilderness? Because that's the way we always got fed. Now God marched them out. And what's the first thing he had to teach them? I am your Father. You're not going to sow for this. You're not going to reap for this. You're not going to lay up for this. You're going to have to trust me, because there is nowhere you're going to be able to eat out here. He did that deliberately. Marched them right into circumstance through a forced trust. Anybody been into a situation of forced trust? Where none of your dependencies, there's nothing you can look at. You got to believe God and God only. Amen. God said, I'm going to bring food down from heaven. Notice, he was already signifying the way he's going to do it. I'm going to provide for you from another jurisdiction. You're not going to be able to find any substance in this jurisdiction. Because I'm going to march you out in an arid wilderness. There is nothing. You ever gotten to a circumstance that there's nothing, no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, nothing happens. You're in a situation, you say, God, where are you? He is in a heavenly realm with all the riches and glory, and he wants to teach you how to receive from that place. Just like he wanted to teach the children of Israel. That's exactly what he was trying to teach. He said, listen, I am your Father. And for 40 years, he provided for them. Even when they weren't their best, Oh, well, you missed it today. Sorry, you don't eat. He didn't treat them like that. That was all grace displayed in the wilderness. Even when they built that calf with the gold and Moses threw the tablets at it and the whole thing burnt down, the next day manna fell. Say, manna fell. God will provide for you because he loves you. Because he's good. And he's not moved by anything else. Amen? Now, if God can do that, imagine what he can do for us now. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. So, let's get back into Matthew a minute and let's see the correlation between Matthew and James. Let's see how far we can get. Amen. It's all about receiving. Is the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He's talking about manna. He's going back to the children of Israel. Daily manna. Say daily manna. God has apportioned for you manna. If you learn to get it, if you learn to receive it, things are going to go very well. And I'm going to tell you something. Ann and I started doing this just recently, and we got a big check in the mail. Well, it was a notification that we got an inheritance. Can you believe that? My grandmother from my father's side passed away a couple months ago, and she left us an inheritance. Amen. Well, how much is it? Doesn't matter. It's too good. Victoria, when she saw that, she goes, I want a pool. Carson goes, I want another car. I'm like, amen. You learn God will start pulling stuff everywhere for you. He'll pull things in your direction. Got to learn how to receive, though. Verse 21, he talks about putting your heart in 19 and 20. Where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart be also. If your treasure's in earthly things, your heart's going to get intermingled in earthly things. If your treasure's in heavenly things, your heart's going to get commingled in heavenly things. Wherever your heart's commingled, wherever your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be commingled. He's trying to get your heart out from the world. He says, here's the Lord's Prayer. Ask this, kingdom come, that will be done. But your heart's going to have to be transferred into the jurisdiction of the kingdom. If you don't know how to do that, you're not going to receive from that kingdom. Because your treasure's in the earth, everything about you is going to be bound to earthly systems. But if your treasure's in heaven, then you're going to be bound to the heavenly system. You're going to receive from it. Amen? People have their hearts co-mingle, intermingle, intertwine with earthly things. They're trying to receive from a heavenly jurisdiction, and it doesn't work. And they're asking, they're whining, they're crying, oh me-ing, oh my-ing, the whole thing, and nothing's happening for them. And all of a sudden, it doesn't work. It does work. But you got to have the wisdom of how it works. Amen? So we got into this last two or three weeks, and I'm gonna just move through this kind of quickly because we've gotten into this. He said, the light of the body is the eye, if that eye be single. We found out that word single, when you broke it down in the Greek, it meant alpha. Say alpha. And it was two words. One meant alpha, and the other one's woven, like weaving a basket. If your eye, he's talking about the heart here, if the eye of your heart, say the eye of the heart, that's how you see, perceive, and understand the kingdom. If it's interwoven into Christ and the kingdom of God, your whole body's going to be filled with the light of that kingdom, and you're going to receive from that kingdom. But if your eye be evil, he's not talking about, ooh, he's got the evil eye. He's got the evil eye. He's not talking about evil as you know it. If you look at that word and you break it down in the Greek, if your eye is full of toil, hardship, annoyance, labor, the original curse of the world system, if your eye is filled with that operation, the world, and your heart is always filled with trouble, care, toil, labor, annoyance, and you're always stirred up about something, your whole body's going to be filled with that kind of system. And you're not going to be able to receive. Everyone say amen. He's not talking about this eye. Get this eye. It's the eye of the heart. That's why he said, open the prayer, Ephesians, open the eyes of our heart. Say the eyes of our heart. Amen. So he's teaching us how to receive, say receive from the kingdom. All right. Because he says, verse 24, he said, you cannot serve both systems, God and mammon. If you're going to receive from God, you've got to learn to receive from him. If you're going to receive from mammon, you receive from mammon. Mammon is the money that controls the world system. Listen, the kingdom is not here to compete. God says, serve me, love me, follow me, give me thine heart, learn of my ways, and you'll receive from me. Amen? Here's how, let's practice. Ready? Amen? Amen. Ready? 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 One more time. See, you can do it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do it. Now go to James 1. This came floating through me this morning. I love this. Ooh. This is what I love. This is my gift, my calling. I mean, I just go in the Word and extract the mystery because I want this. I've been doing this a long time. I've been at it a little while. And I found out, I've been around a lot of different operations in the kingdom. And I found a lot of people get blessed. There's operations of blessings. Just like there are operations in businesses. There's operation in kingdom blessing. Listen, you can get into a certain realm and vein in the kingdom, and those guys just can get blessed. But you find out a lot of it's from what they do is they get into a circuit with one another. I'm not trying to tell on them, but that's what they do. They get in the circuit, and they all, I pastor here, you pastor here, you invite me, I invite you. Now, I can only take so much as a salary, but if you invite me, then you can give me an offering, but I invite you, I give you an offering. Because the church ain't going to say anything. If I give you $50,000, hey, we're blessing that ministry. When really, you blessing that person. I've had people come in here, and I receive an offering for their ministry, and I sit down and go, that's not really for my ministry. I had one guy tell me, I thought I was giving an offering to his ministry, and I was building. I'm like, he goes, I'm not here for an offering for my ministry. This is going to me and my family. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. But I kind of thought I was giving your ministry, and so did you. But when you get in that circuit, and you start doing that, going out like that, they can build wealth like that. Well, tape sales, book sales, and all that. And I'm not getting onto them about that, but I'm just saying, it all says kingdom, but it's really not. It's just an operation, amen? Sometimes it gets into the money changer system, and I'm not the judge, God is, so. But I'm just trying to point out there's a different system, but God has got me on this. He says, son, I don't want you doing that. I want you to learn how to receive from me. Because if you can receive from me, you can receive from me anywhere, anytime. But to do that, you're going to have to learn to receive from me. He could have, if he wanted to do that with me, he could have plugged me into that system a long time ago. But see, once you get plugged into that, you ain't looking anywhere else. It's good all the time. You just got to know that. But it doesn't mean it's God. It doesn't mean it's fullness. It's not receiving from Father. And he's got me on this. He says, I want you to learn to receive direct. He kept saying, direct from a kingdom that's not of this world. I can bless you. I can do things. I can show you operations. But I want you to learn to receive. Say, receive. And he's all over it. To do that, to receive from the kingdom, the first order, listen to this, is to what? You'll find out when you get out there and you start getting a job out there, how awesome it was to live with your parents. Because you're going to go out and work, and you're going to get your paycheck, and that $20 an hour that you might be making is not $20 an hour after taxes, and after rent, and after utilities, and after phone, and after car note, and insurance, and gas. You might have $20 left, and you're going to go down the store, and you're going to get a loaf of bread, bologna, some cheese, maybe some mayonnaise, top ramen, special, six for a dollar. Still say, I don't know if they're six for a dollar anymore. Back in my day, they were, honey, you know that. I don't know. Somebody told me all about this. Ten for a dollar? What's that? Yeah, off brand. Ten for a dollar. Tim. You find out. Then you do that all your life. You get in plugged in a mammon. It keeps offering you more and more, but delivers nothing but bondage. You want deliverance from it. After a while, what you were excited about, making 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 an hour, all of a sudden the enemy can gobble it all up. Or the system gobbles it up. And when you come home, there's nothing left. What's really hard is when these athletes, they make multi-million dollar contracts and they get into the system and everybody loves them when they're high on the hog and they're thinking that money's going to last forever. And then when it cuts off and it's not there anymore, they want the high. So they're spending the rest of the money they got to stay on that high until it's not left. And when it's not left, they get discarded. I read about an athlete the other day. He goes, people don't understand it. It's the high. It's the high you get everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, and then all of a sudden, when there's nothing left, you're not celebrated anymore. You're discarded. People don't understand mammon will chew you up and spit you out. But if you learn the way of the kingdom, God will never chew you up. He'll never spit you out. He'll always provide, and He'll keep blessing. He'll give you what's called durable riches, durable wealth. Durable, why? Because it's coming from another place. Yes, He interacts with this system, but He brings it down. Amen? And you get a blessing on you that cannot ever be taken. Amen. You're just about money? No, I'm about learning my Father's provision so I don't have to depend on the system. Because as you get after this little while, those little doctrines when you use that money, you don't care about that anymore. You understand how it works and you understand the enemy. He'll try to corral you every day of your life. He'll try to corral your children. He'll try to pass it on generationally. He'll constantly try to choke and corral you because that's what Anak does. Anak was a strong man sitting on Mount Hebron. You know what Anak means? Choke, collar, and chain. He wants to choke out the resources of the kingdom of God in your life. He wants to keep you chained and collared all your life. Eventually, you're going to break out. So if I'm ever going to do anything with the kingdom, I'm going to have to break out of the systems of this world because I cannot depend on the systems of this world when I'm carrying a heavenly vision. If you're carrying a heavenly vision, you're not going to make it with the systems of this world. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good. So we're going to have to learn how to do this with God. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing. God's not going to come in and strike everything you're doing down. If you don't do it my way, whoa. He doesn't do it that way. He transitions you. He says, don't worry about anything you're doing. Don't use anything you're doing. Just believe me for this. It's like He doesn't care about anything else. He goes, just make me the father of this one need you have. Because if you learn that I can meet this one need, then you'll learn I can meet another. And slowly I'll transition everything to the kingdom. Say amen. Even if you own a business, you got to learn this. Because there are times, the ebb and flow of business. Sometimes it's glorious and other times it just comes to a screeching halt. And you have to learn how to open the floodgates of heaven. Amen. How many of you are tired of being sick and tired? Raise your hand. How many of you are tired of just being needy? Well, God says He only supplies my needs. Well, then why are you so needy if He supplies your needs? Well, He don't supply my wants. He supplies my needs. Well, then why are you needy? Maybe you hadn't even learned to get your needs supplied. He did say whatsoever every time He said something. Notice how God left an open-ended whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you ask. Say whatsoever. God did not arbitrarily throw that word out there. He threw that out there because He wanted no limitation on anybody's faith. That was an unlimited word according to your faith. Well, I don't know. He's only going to give me my needs. Well, if you don't even know how to get Him to get your needs met, then you're not going to get anything else anyway. Amen. Mammon will supply your needs as long as you work for Mammon for 40 years. Mammon always has a price. Amen. Can't serve both. You're not going to have the kingdom in Mammon. One or the other is going to give way. Not talking about salvation. Look at your neighbors. Not talking about salvation. Cannot serve God, Mammon. You're going to go to hell, you sinner. For depending on Mammon, you're going to go to hell. And they stick that bony finger out there. Repent. I can't even do it anymore. They take that little scripture. You can't serve God and mammon. Get down this altar. Repent. He's not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. Dear Lord, that's like the rich man. How hard can a rich man enter the kingdom of God? Give your money away, you're going to burn, boy. Oh, you should hear my teaching on that. How hard can a rich man enter into the operation of the kingdom of God on the earth? Because he depends too much on his own sufficiency to ever learn the ways of the kingdom. It has nothing to do with his salvation. The salvation is by the blood of Jesus. It has nothing to do whether you ever tap into the Father being your Father and your provider. You may never know him as Father, as provider, but you're still going to go to heaven because that's not what he's talking about. Everyone go, whew. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not coming back to this church, but amen. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I can go into the kingdom with all my money. I can keep my money and God's not going to touch it. Listen, God is not interested in your little bitty money when the Lord has prepared all the resources in heaven. He has prepared power and wealth and wisdom and glory. He's laid up an unlimited supply. God's going to say, oh, look at them with that angel. Let's just take that from them too. He doesn't think like that. God doesn't do that. He's saying, I know what operation got you that. If you'll come over here, I can give you another operation. I'll give you way more than that. God had to take everything to teach me a lesson. No, the devil took everything to teach you a lesson. God doesn't do that. He doesn't give his son. He that spared not his only son, how shall he not freely give you all things? He spares not his only son. Jesus becomes your poverty, gives you the standing of riches, and then takes all your money away. So becomes your poverty. I took your poverty, but I want everything else too. Give me that little measly $25,000 you got in savings. Give it to me. He didn't think like that. He's not like that. You think like that. The enemy wants you to think like that. That's not him. How's he? Let's look. James 1. This is good preaching, huh? James 1. If any of you, verse 5, lack wisdom, lack finances, lack health, you can put anything there. Any of you, just put lack. If any of you lack, let him ask of God. Here's God. That giveth to all men liberally. That's God. Right there. Say, that's God. He gives to all men liberally. Say liberally. He gives. Gives liberally. See, there's a part of you that doesn't believe that. And that part has to change. Amen? And the reason why that part you don't believe in, I'll share it with you. He's going to tell you what the problem is. And upbraideth not. That should not say with reprimanding. It should say without. So you can write that in without. Say without. I was doing this morning. I was in a hurry. Without. And he says it braideth not. That word upbraideth means without reprimanding or finding fault. When you go to God and ask him for something, he says he gives to you liberally, and he upbraideth not. In other words, I'm not. Because he gives it without finding fault. Here's what people think. Oh, God's finding fault with me. He didn't give this to me because something's wrong with me today. I'm sorry, God. And you go through all this thing about everything you did wrong. And you try to get all perfect so God will bless you. He does not think like that. He doesn't give without reprimanding you. I got to reprimand you before I give to you. Did he do that with our salvation? He freely received you. He made you an heir. You're accepted in the beloved. You were born. Say you're adopted into the family of God. Listen, God's family ain't like our family. When we were adopted in God's family, you're adopted into royalty. He made you royalty the day he adopted you. And when you ask him for something, he doesn't find fault. Well, I don't like this about you. When you get that fixed, we'll talk about it. Dear Lord, if God wanted to find fault with the kind of light he's got, all he's got to do is shine on me for eternity. If God's light is all he did was find fault, believe me, you would be one miserable person. Because God has enough light to keep you miserable for a very long time if he's wanting to show you your faults. God's not going to show you your fault all your life. Fault. Look at all that fault. Fault. When are you ever going to be perfect? He sees blood of Jesus. I see my son. It's like this. Love. But then if you got a fault, when you get in his love, he corrects it with love. But he's not constantly shining a fault light on you. Especially when you're coming to ask him for something. The greatest day ever is when you can receive from the Father just because he loves you by grace without having to change something. Thank you for that one amen. I'll accept that amen. Thank you, Kim, for that amen. I receive. He does not find fault. Look at your neighbor. He's not finding fault. That's good news for you, Tim. Praise God. That's probably good news for me. Amen. We find fault. God doesn't. When you learn to receive from him, that's why the Lord said, now it's very important. It's not about, see, when the Lord said the day, he said, in that day that you know that you were in me and we're in the Father, and that day I introduced the Father, no one will speak to you in Proverbs, but I show you openly the Father's love and I introduce you to his love, then you'll ask in my name and he'll give it to you. Why was the prerequisite there? God is love. He didn't change anything. It's you changed. When he brought you in his love, you changed your perspective of Father. You found out he's very loving. He's very amazing. He does love you. And the greatest day ever is when you find out he loves you just the way you are. I mean, he caught me up in his love for 6 months before he ever tried to change something. I thought I was pretty much perfect. Because he makes you feel awesome. He tells you, oh, you're my favorite. He makes you feel like your favorite. You come out there feeling glorious. For 6 months, not one ever mention of a fault. And then all of a sudden, you start shining the light. So, well, we do want to work on a few things. Oh my God, can we please stop this? He doesn't just sit there and do that all the time. It's an ebb and flow. He works on it, cleans a few things up, and goes on to the next level. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let him ask of God. Remember, when you're receiving from God, you got to learn to receive. He giveth to me liberally. You don't find fault with me. You have to do that. Father, I thank you. You don't find fault with me. You give to me liberally. I receive from you. You give to me liberally. And it shall be given them. But, did he have to do that? Don't you wish the buts were not there in the Bible? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that's when he was sending me through this scripture this morning. I heard staggered not. As soon as I got there, I heard staggered not. He said, Abraham staggered not. I had to go find out. Sure enough, it's the same word. Dicrino. Same word. Staggered not. Say staggered not. Abraham did not waver. And then the Spirit of the Lord told me what wavering meant, and I had to go look it up. He goes, that wavering means the exact same thing as I was saying in Matthew 6, that I be single. It's not the same word, but it's the same meaning. It's that I be single, and it's interwoven in Christ. Your whole body will be full of light. He goes, the wavering is your separating. And I looked it up, and sure enough, because a lot of your Bibles say without doubt, if you look up that word wavering, guess what it means? Are you ready? To separate thoroughly, to withdraw from. What did he say? If your eye be interwoven with Christ, whole body be full of light. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask it, you will. Here he says, if you ask in faith and you do not allow the enemy to separate the union, you're going to receive. But if you allow him to separate you from your source, see, the enemy knows the only way he can stop you is to separate you. He's not separating you from your salvation. He's trying to separate you from your provider. How does he do it? He offers you something else. Or he moves you, or he distracts you, or he pours all kinds of toil and labor and distraction, and he'll hit you in 1,000 different ways. You're trying to receive, and all of a sudden you wake up, and I'm just delirious. I don't even know what planet I'm on. All I was trying to do is just receive something from Father. You don't understand. He's trying to block the first reception. He's going to throw everything at the first reception. Why? He never, ever wants you to know how to receive from God. Not one thing that you can directly receive from the Father. He don't ever want you to understand the process. Why? Because you'll run from His system. He's going to replace it with His system. He's going to come in. That's why He said even the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the tree, because the tree of knowledge of good and evil is very enticing. Say, very enticing. Are you with me? Let him ask in faith. Now think about that. I remember when I first taught this, I didn't have the whole revelation. I'm getting it now. I'm getting really close to understanding how to receive direct from the kingdom. It's going to liberate this whole church. Because when I get it, you're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to learn how to receive direct from the Father and come out from the world system altogether. Talking about coming out of Egypt party. Oh, God can march us in the middle of a wilderness and we'll create an oasis there. There'd be nothing impossible to them who believe. Stagger not at the promise. I don't stagger through wavering. Think about asking in faith. It goes a lot more. Stay with me. Some of you are like, Stay with me. Think about this. Let him ask in faith. What does that mean, actually? Okay, well, I'm going to get myself all spiritual. Get on my knee. Hold on. I'll try this. All right. Get your eyes closed. Take some communion. Get spiritual. Get your eyes squinted a little bit. Bow down. Humble yourself. Repent. And Father, I ask. Don't you go asking for anything for yourself, boy. Okay, Father, I ask on the behalf of your church. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would supply the $10,000 deficit that we have. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, and I ask in faith. And I ask for wisdom. Don't you go wavering, boy, in the middle of that. I ask for whiz. I wavered in the middle of it and I ended up dumb. I wavered in the asking. I ended up dumb. I asked for wisdom. I ended up dumb. Wisdom. Got it. Okay. It's taking a little while for a few people. That's right. We got it. Praise God. We don't want to buy wisdom in here. The spirit of stupid we're going to cast out. Even wisdom doesn't like stupidness. She doesn't like it. Praise God. God knows Leslie. So listen, it's not about just what you're asking. Asking in faith means the day I ask, I'm staying with this request until my Father actually gives it to me. Now here's the understanding of something. You have to stay with it in intermingled, interwoven with Christ, staggering not. What it means is, it's not someday you're going to be a little shifty or someday you're going to be a little messed up about it. It's not like that. It's I'm not going to leave this until my Father answers it. I'm going to stay with this and I'm going to receive from Him. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm not going to turn to my own sufficiency. I'm not turning to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm not going to mammon. I'm going to stay with this until the Father answers it. I'm going to stay in faith and I'm going to stay interwoven with Christ. And I'm not going to stagger and allow myself to get disconnected from this. Now you think that's easy. You better think again. I don't care if you believe in God for shoelaces or international revival. The enemy is going to come after that connection. He's going to come fast, furious, and hard to stop that progression. He's going to try all types of employment to get you off of that. That's what he meant asking faith. Stay with it until the Father answers. Now, I got to say this before we close. How does the Father answer your prayer? Well, he just gives it to me. No. He does not. Go to John 14. Stay with me. Look at your neighbor. Say, stay. Stay. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Go to John. I'm just going to show you something real quick. I've got 5 minutes anyway. Praise the Lord. I don't even have to start closing legally until, you know, noon. So I've got 5 minutes before I have to even begin my close. Okay. Lord's Prayer, John 14. Ready? Ready? Are you with me? Are you with me? Thank you. Verse 13, John 14. This, you'll learn something here. Ready? Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's the Lord talking. That's red letters. He says, I'll do it. Right? Go to 16. Amazing, amazing. 15 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be done for you. Okay? 16. Verse 23. In that day you ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatso you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Who's doing it? Him or the Father? Both of them. Both of them. You have to understand how this works. If you listen to me, I'm going to share something that's very powerful. When God originally created man, God gave man dominion in the earth. It gave him everything here. The enemy stole that dominion. When the Lord came to retrieve and restore the dominion, he purposely did not restore the dominion and the blessings and everything he had originally given the man back into the earth, because the enemy had a legal lease on the earth. He has legal rights to steal here. That's why he steals, kills, and destroys in this earth. He has legal rights to do certain things. He has to use people to do it, but he has legal rights. Right? So in the restoration, God had to devise a way to restore everything he had originally given us in the garden back to us without the enemy being able to touch it. So in his genius, he restored all of our blessing, all the dominion, all the glory in the right hand of the Father. In Ephesians 1, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And I say, some of you I know are getting overloaded, but just stay with me. Bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, right? Worthy is the Lamb to have received in his ascension power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Everything, all the dominion, I could go through a whole list of things that are in the name of Jesus. When God restored it, he put it in a heavenly trust account in the name of Jesus, under the name of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. And he put it in a place where the enemy has no access to it. Say none, 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 none. No access, but it's yours. And it's for you here in the earth. He put it there. All restored. Fullness, access is all there. What we've been after, and I've been after for a very long time, is how to get it here. Amen. And boy, the enemy has been sly dog. Man, he's a sly dog. He's constantly at work. But we're getting his number now. Praise God. Amen. We're going to get what's up there here. He put it there. So, when the Father's transacting, and I may get into this later in the depth. When the Father, when you transact with the Father, he said, if you ask the Father for what's in my name, he will give it to you. Now, I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then we're going to close. Go to where? Mark 11. Say Mark 11. Those scriptures on that second page are just for you. Those are the receiving scriptures. Gonna have to learn to receive from the Father. Hey, you'll like this, Chuck. I found out something. When he said the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that was actually in the exact same teaching as the Lord's Prayer. Do you know that? He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It was the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you a kingdom. See, it's his good pleasure. You can write this down, tattoo it on your forehead. God is not withholding any good thing. No good thing will he withhold. He's the Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above. You got to know the Father. He's not the one blocking, but you're going to have to understand how he does this. and this scripture. I know I'm getting you in overload, but I got to finish this. Amen. Mark 11. Amazing verse here. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in what? He didn't say have faith in you. Didn't say have faith in your job. Didn't say have faith in the world. A lot of people, when things start shaking, had a lot of faith and confidence in their job and find out they can't trust in anything. Don't have faith in the government. Hello. Have faith. Are you breathing? That's the same thing. If you're going to receive from the kingdom, you got to receive from the kingdom. Therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, what things soever you, and that word ask is the same thing as asking for wisdom. Whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you ask for, believe that you receive and you, what, shall have. What are you receiving? The Father, listen to this, only transacts in and through the name of Jesus. What you have to receive is from the Father. When you ask, you're going to have to stay there and believe and believe and believe until you get a transaction from the Father. And when you get a transaction from the Father, He grants it to you. And the Lord said, once the Father gives it to you, it's in a spiritual state, but then I will take that spiritual state and I will do it and perform it for you. Did you hear that? The Lord cannot do it until the Father gives it to you. And until you get in there and stay in faith and do not be moved. I'm staying here with you, Father. I'm staying with your way. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to stagger. I'm not turning the right or left. I'm going to believe you until I actually receive this from you. When you receive it, the Father grants a spiritual inheritance to you. He sends a spiritual inheritance. And then once that receives, boom, the Lord does it. He'll take that and He'll manifest it for you. What happens? We stop too soon. We ask and we don't get the reception. We don't get it because we don't get it. Who's your neighbor say, you don't get it because you don't get it. You don't receive because you don't understand. You don't get it because you don't really get it yet. Until you stay with the Father and stay with Him. Listen, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on around you. Don't worry about all that. Just stay with one thing with Him. Go do what you're doing. But take that one thing and stay with Him with it. Don't let go of it. Say, I'm not letting go, Father, till I learn how to receive. I'm not going to stagger. I'm not going to detach. I'm not going to part. I'm going to be interwoven with you in Christ with this request until you grant this to me. And when you grant it, I'll know it. And when I know it, the Lord will perform it. I'll stay here until I learn to receive from you. Amen. When you do that, you're on your way to complete 100% liberation. And that's what God's after. And that's exactly what the enemy never wants you to do. He wants you to labor in his system all your life. Not very fun, is it? Enemy system, not very fun. Not having fun. We can do the shimmy shoo shoo, the glory hallelujah. We can dance. But still, we walk away with our same circumstance because we don't understand how the Father grants the kingdom. The Father transacts spiritually. We've got to stay there until you learn to receive from Him. Amen? Yeah, go ahead. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah.
This was part of from what he taught before and going to the right hand and receiving from the Father. And Jesus had to learn how to receive from the Father, and he did it at the right hand. And I want to give you one of the verses from that, and it's Acts 2:33. And it says, exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured it out, which you now see and hear. And then Paul goes on to say, for David did not ascend to heaven, but he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. And so he's tying that into Psalm 110, and that until we learn how to ascend and sit, it's very difficult to be able to receive something. If I want to give something to Pastor Chuck and he's just like running all over the place, and if I'm jogging after him trying to give him the gifts, here, Pastor Chuck, take this. But if he's in a sitting position like he is right now, I can say, here, Pastor, take this. And so you're in a position to receive, and you have to sit long enough in order for it to penetrate and drop from the mind down into the heart to receive it. And I had one last verse to share on that, and that was from Jesus in the book of Revelations. It says in chapter 5, and then I saw him who was sitting on the throne at the right hand of God. He went and took the scroll from God, the Father, at the right hand of God. And then they're singing in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. Jesus learned how to receive from the Father, and now he's teaching us through our spiritual Father how to receive from our Heavenly Father.
So if you look at Mark 11, it says, have faith in God. Therefore, when you pray, whatsoever you ask for, have faith. The word believe is the same word for faith. It says, have faith to receive. Stay in faith. Say, stay in faith until you receive. Well, how do I know when I receive? You're going to know it. You're not going to ask that question. If you don't have it yet, then you don't have it. When you have it, you'll know it in your knower. God will transfer it to you. And when he transfers it to you, the Lord will then take that and manifest it into the earth. Thus, you will graduate, a massive graduation of the kingdom of God, and you'll get liberated from the world system, and you won't live in fear all your life of how you're going to pay a need or how you're going to pay a bill. God the Father is going to pay it all. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. But in the process here, for all you football fans, what he's telling you is how to find that place of immaculate reception. Hallelujah. Okay, in immaculate reception, in other words, where we're actually receiving something from God because it's his good pleasure to do it for us. It's his good pleasure to create this opportunity for us. And it's just a matter of us standing in faith. And if you've ever received salvation in your life, then you already know what it's like to receive from God. You've already received from him. But what I want to offer up to you right now is this is a moment to start that journey if you have not. This is a moment to start the journey with him. And so today, if you will, if you just bow your heads. Today, God wants to make it personal with you. If you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, if you've never given him the opportunity to show you how faith works, if you've never stepped out in faith and said, Lord, I just want to receive what you have for me. I just want you to just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. And if you would, just with me, just repeat this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, I choose to receive by faith what you have for me. I recognize my life, I've been a sinner. But Lord, I don't have to stay in that place, because by faith, today, I receive my redemption. I receive my freedom. Today, I receive that place of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
The Father just spoke to me, as Pastor Chuck was speaking. He said, listen, he said, it takes time to learn to receive. You don't just go and receive. It takes time to open a spiritual channel from heaven into your heart. He knows that. That's why he says stay connected and learn how to receive through the Word of God until you actually receive. Just don't let it go. The day your faith crosses a line, the Father will transfer that from riches and glory to you. And he'll transfer it. And once that transference is made, the Lord will then take that transference and he'll manifest it for you in the earth. That's why he said, don't let go, because it takes faith to receive. That's why he said, have faith in God. When you stand praying, believe that you receive, or have faith to receive. Same word. Stay in faith. Ask in faith. Until you learn to receive. Just like it took faith to enter in, it takes faith to receive. You have to learn to receive, because a lot of things standing between you and the Father in receiving. Sometimes it's unworthiness. Sometimes it's different things, and God has to work all that out. So stay with it until you receive, and once you receive, the channel gets opened. Once the channel gets opened, the Father starts blessing all the time. Then you don't start wondering, why God, why, when God, when, how come God, how come? You know, you've been delivered from the world, truly delivered from the systems of this world. And that's what he wants from his people in this last hour. Amen.